The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 770-5633 to join Pebble in Your Shoot Tuesday. We got a full board of callers. I don't know who you are, but I'll be nimble and we'll see what's on your mind. Hi, who's this? Good morning.
Morning, Bill. Steve in Sunny Valley.
Hi, Steve. What's on your mind?
Herman was right about the size of the pellets. What he neglected was that they killed people for 1,500 years. Can you think of a structure we have, besides the pyramids, that's 1,500 years old and still structurally sound? So until we reduce the half-life of the waste material, I just think it's unethical to create a mess that we cannot clean up in our own lifetimes. There is a solution. We can use the waste and run it through a different type of nuclear power plant, but what we get is plutonium, and the world has decided we can't make plutonium because it's used in atomic weapons.
Yeah. What about thorium reactors, various other types of nuclear reactors that are supposedly much more benign environmentally?
Well, I haven't heard enough about it, but I am all for nuclear power so long as we can clean up the mess in our own lifetimes. I think it's unethical to create a mess that, 100 generations from now, maybe you haven't read it, but that guy who founded Church of Scientology wrote a book, Battlefield Earth, and the whole thing was 1,500 years from now, we get invaded by aliens, the world has collapsed, everybody's a moron, and everybody's deformed because there's some nuclear waste on the path to get the drinking water.
I believe, though, that the current type of reactors that they're talking about are not that type of what you're talking about.
Well, right now, we don't have them running, as far as I know. Right now, the reactors that were built in the 80s and the 70s have the half-life of 1,500 years. And that's longer than I'm going to live. What our solution should be, especially in Oregon, is old tech. You make pelletized wood from sawdust, from wood products, you put it in a big hopper, and you feed it into a steam engine that turns a turbine. That's 24-hour-a-day electricity.
Oh, hey, you'll get no argument from me on something like that, but then you would have to reach the high bar of people understanding that carbon dioxide does not kill the planet.
And you do it like they did with the windmills that pumped water in the Midwest in the 20s. You put one on every ranch, so everybody is, I know you hate this word, resilient.
Well, that's a real example of resilient. Normally what resiliency means today is that the government will always have money to be able to survive. It's not about the people, it's about the government surviving, okay?
Right.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Good morning. This is Bill. Who's this?
This is David in Phoenix. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, David.
Yeah, my pebble today is after all the years we went through with our Jackson County library system, the building of the new libraries, the controversy over the flagpole, not having a flag, and all the craziness, and turning it over to a district and still having to pay off the bonds to the county before the county could release it, the buildings and whatnot. Did all these new construction, all these new buildings, some were partnerships, which I never like partnerships between entities. Jackson County Library Services now wants to redo all their libraries and build some new libraries. Have you heard about this?
No, I have not. I have a very, very important recommendation. Not just no, but hell no.
Well, but the thing is that this library district, it's like RVTD. Like, they are their own government entity. They get to take their 74 cents per thousand of assessed value of everyone's property tax and any grants that they get, and they get to do what they want once they're free of the county. Once those bonds are paid, and maybe those bonds already are paid off, but this would be like the worst example to me. Central Point, Oregon, the city and the libraries thought it'd be a good idea to partner. So they build a new annex to the city hall. The bottom floor is the library, and the top floor is part of Central Point City Hall. Now the library wants to go and build their own standalone library somewhere else, which some of us thought should have been done to begin with. So how does that work out? Who's responsible and who pays? Does Central Point really want to shell out a bunch of money? I don't think that they do. Is the library just going to give it to them that we all paid for? And so these are real, and they want to redo the Taj, you know, we called it the Taj Mahal. You remember Garth and Rosemary Harrington calling it the Taj Mahal. And the exercise we all went through about the flagpole. Well, they want to completely redo that building downtown Medford.
Oh, so what that building that, after what? How many years has it been in existence? Not that many. Not that old.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's all these libraries. This is insanity, Bill. This is total fiduciary insanity.
Well, the one solution would be if people were actually wise enough to have done this in the first place, and that would be to decertify the taxing district.
Yes,
if they can be certified, they can be decertified, but you'd have to change a lot of hearts and minds to get them to this, because nothing will separate a progressive library person from their money unless you forcibly take it from them.
It's absolutely insane. So I just wanted to put that out there, something to look at. They had a big I only noticed it because I had to go over there for a very specific reason. I never use the libraries. I have to pay for them, but I don't use them. It's bumdom down there and stab and wagon, and it's just lunacy. It's indigeneity. I'm an Indian. Well, I haven't met an Indian. I go to the library, and I don't see any Ugg Howes in there.
Okay, give me that term again. Indigeneity? Indigeneity?
Indigeneity.
Indigeneity. Yes. Listen, okay. All right.
We thank the Weeki Poo and the Poopy Poo for this, their land.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. If the library district and their board is so upset about their indigeneity not being respectful or something like that, give the library land back to the native tribes, and they would probably do a better job with it. Okay.
One more thing. I just want to add one more funny. Okay. Because I just like what, you know, I do want to go into my cave, never come out again. God. Anyways, when you walk through the doors of the library, this is what you hear. Dun, 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 dun. All right. Like in the old movies, remember? When the Indians were coming, there was always dun, dun, dun,
oh,
dun, dun.
Oh, okay. I was getting that. Oh, the stereotypical thing. Okay, yeah. All right.
All right, my friend. We'll F troop this whole thing. We'll be fine.
That's what we need. All right. Oh, my goodness. How many people can we offend? It is 30. Hi, good morning. You get the cleanup spot here this morning. Welcome. Who's this?
This is Mark Seligman.
Mark, what's on your mind?
Yeah, so the recall of John West, which, of course, I don't support, now they're grouping Chris Barnett there as his realtor. So what? As a private individual, he has every right to be his realtor. Now, if he gets into office, yeah, okay, he should recuse himself. But what about the other side? Pat Fahey running, and the other one is Colleen Martin, part of the library board, the RCC district. Is Pat Fahey or Colleen Martin going to recuse themselves? How come the Daily Courier doesn't mention Pat Fahey's 50 years of connection with various boards in Josephine County or Colleen Martin as a realtor? The Daily Courier is engaged in a hit campaign against this guy, and it doesn't make a difference. They won't print letters to the editor in support of West.
They won't, huh?
It's just, you know how this lines up to sum the whole thing up? On the one side, you have Ron Smith, you have Barnett, yeah. And the other side, you got Fahey and Martin. And it's like more government or less government, more taxes or less taxes, more regular. That's how it's such an obvious election. What side do you choose?
Well, it seems pretty clear to me if I were living in Josephine County, Mark, and I know that you're it's kind of strange to hear you talking about this because a lot of times you've had problems with some of these folks, I would imagine.
John West is the best commander. He's not perfect. He's a Republican. But you know what? When it comes to fiscal conservative, I'm a fiscal conservative. Yes, I'm a social liberal. I'm a Democrat. My party doesn't like the position I take. They ban me from meetings. You know, but the reality is if the Democrats ever expect to win Josephine County, issues like taxation, regulation, property rights, they got to be on the right side of that, and they're on the wrong side, so they're just going to lose. But you know what? I'll get more votes for state representative than anybody that has. I mean, I win, but, you know, I support John West. He's logical. He's factual. And, you know, they just want to call him an idiot. I said, well, let's talk the issues. That's the main thing.
All right.
So that's how it lines up. Okay. And Barnett is now the bad guy.
So. Well, they had to get a new bad guy, right? The old one wasn't working?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, then maybe they can just make me the bad guy. How's that? They already did.
I know. They won't let you in the meetings. Yeah, that's it. Hey, Mark, no. Good hearing from you, okay?
Thank you. Bye.
All right. It is 16 after 8. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Well, you know, it's Orly, Stovin's Paws. We both break.
That's Ashland.
Diner 62's Real American Quiz. And Mary is our first person up. We're going to find out if she gets it. How you doing, Mary? Welcome.
I'm swell, thanks.
Okay. Swell. That's a term I don't hear very often. I like that, swell. And it's better than keen, okay? Now, it was today in history, Mary, the first company to mass produce a car radio goes into business. It was September 25th, 1928. Chicago's new Galvin Manufacturing Corporation officially came into business. And Galvin would introduce the Motorola radio, the first mass-produced commercial car radio. The name had two parts, motor and then Ola from like Victrola. It's make people thinking of music. But here's the way it worked, though. In 1921, an engineer, Paul Galvin, and his friend Edward Stewart started a battery factory in Wisconsin. It went out of business a couple years later. So Galvin and Stewart restarted their battery manufacturing company, this time in Chicago. Well, they went out of business there, too. But then they figured out for a way for home radios to get power from the wall socket, and they called it the dry battery eliminator. Galvin bought back the eliminator part of his bankrupt company at auction for $750, went right back into business. He was selling that to Sears and Roebuck and everybody. But then he turned his attention to the car radio business. He developed car radios, portable travel radios powered by batteries. And then he started installing the radios into cars in 1926. How much did the first car radios cost to put in a car? Okay. So is it $50 back in 1926? Was it $100? $150, $200, or $250 for the very first car radio installation? What say you?
Ooh, gosh. What was the second one?
Second one was $100. C note.
I'll say that.
Was it a C note? No, not this time, Mary. I'm sorry. All right. David is here. David, you want the ham steak, right?
You bet. And I just want to add nifty to the repertoire.
Nifty. All right. And and by the way, another term that we need to hear more often, hooligan. All right. I like hooligan.
Oh, absolutely.
Hooligan's a great one. Miscreant's also good. First car radio. How much did it cost to install your first car radio? It was at $50, $150, $200, or $250. What say you?
I haven't got a clue, so I'm just going to just go nuts and say $250.
You're going to go nuts and say $250, right?
That's what I said.
You're a ham steak boy.
Oh, man.
You got
nifty,
it.
Nifty, baby, nifty.
Yeah, it's nifty and keen. Yeah, the very first custom-installed radios for a car cost $250. That's the equivalent of about $2,800 in 1926, like in today's dollars. That was a lot of money.
Well, that's the new iPhone 73. Yeah, so it's about even now.
Exactly, right. Now, Galvin thought if he could afford a way to mass-produce the affordable car radio, he'd get rich. So in June of 1930, he gets another inventor, Elmer Wavering and William Lear. Now, you remember William Lear, right? They retrofitted his old Studebaker with a radio and drove 800 miles to the Radio Manufacturers Association's annual meeting in Atlantic City. So he parks he parked outside the convention. He turned up the music, right? And so they had music on the Studebaker. And then the radio that he ended up coming up with, the 5T71, it was $110. That was way more affordable than the 250. But even then, that was really expensive, and then he changed the name to Motorola. That's where that company came from.
Wow.
And the other part about I don't know if you remember that William Lear also invented the 8-track tape system. Remember those?
Oh my gosh, okay.
Came standard on every Ford in 1966, and they stopped making. Motorola got squeezed out of the market in 1984. Today, they're best known as cell phone makers. So there we go. But
okay, well, and didn't they used to make walkie-talkies?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
when,
Motorola.
When we were kids, you could buy the little set.
Yeah,
wanted one for Christmas, and you couldn't get it because they were a little. They were kind of a toy that only one kid, like in 50 blocks got or something like that.
Motorola, I think, still does make handy talkies, and I think they're for the commercial and for the cops. I could be wrong about that. Pretty sure they still are in business for that. Okay? All right?
Well, thank you.
But anyway, David, ham steak, hang on. Let me get your address, and we'll get you taken care of. So David is going to be eating comfortably this week. All right? 27 minutes after 8. We are right back to your calls on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday after I get David's address, 770-5633.
Just how clean is
positive?
KMED. You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
770-5633. To join in, it's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Doing a little boogie over at it. Let me go over to Wild Salmon Steve. Hello, Steve. What's on your mind this morning, huh?
Well, the pebble in my shoe is that government keeps getting more and more expensive when you add up all the costs, and it's going off a cliff eventually. I don't know what we do about that, but...
Well, eventually all government will be reined in through insolvency, right? You know, it just grows and grows and grows and then collapses on itself, I guess. I guess the question is, do we have something to take over once it does?
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, that's going to be a big challenge. As Thomas Jefferson quoted about the Tree of Liberty, I won't go any farther than that. But the other thing I wanted to call about, my first vehicle was a 1950 Dodge pickup.
Now, was that the type of Dodge pickup that had, there was a model for a while that had like a unibody frame that had some, a few problems
no,
in?
No.
Wasn't that one?
This was an actual truck.
Okay.
No, this was an actual truck. Had a 60 horse flathead six and a 4-speed crash box transmission. And it was 6-volt battery. So my dad bought it for me for like $50. It was an old county pickup. And so I hunted around. I found a radio to put in the thing, and the radio had something called an oscillator. It when you turn it on, it buzzed.
Oh, it's a vibrator. Yeah, it was a vibrator power supply.
Yeah.
The vibrator was essentially a relay buzzing and chopping the electric current, so that way it was AC, a rough form of AC, and then you could boost it for the high voltages needed for the tubes. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And it made a lot of noise. You could hear it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was a physical device, whatever. But that old pickup, I had it for a year or so, and then I bought myself a 57 Chevy for $285.
Oh,
but,
man, the thought of buying a 57 Chevy at $285, man, you wish you hung on to that, huh?
Yeah, it got wrecked eventually.
Was it a 2-door or 4-door?
It was a 4-door 210, and I kind of hated it to start out with, but it was the only thing I could afford, and it turned out to be very useful. I mean, I painted it, maroon and had chrome wheels, and I was kind of a different guy, but if you had friends and you were doing something, they could all pile in there,
a lot of room.
And the 2-doors, if you had the 210 with the post, they were okay, but the 2-door hardtops, they were just kind of a disaster. The doors weighed so much, and the way the windows, they always leaked, and it was. I had one of those, too.
But they're much more stylish and coveted these days, though, aren't they?
Well, the interesting thing is most of the cars now are 4-doors.
Hmm. Well, I know today, but I'm talking about when it comes to style, though. The 2-door was always a better-looking car. You're right. I'm sure that, the 4-door with the pillar in there is more structurally sound, no doubt about that. But the reason, I wanted to ask you this here, since you grew up in a certain era of cars here, and the car that you didn't think was all that great, they're coveted now. What car do you think today that is not all that appreciated will someday be appreciated in the future? Someday if people will look back at that. And they thought, okay, it was kind of a piece of crap at the time, but it turns collectible. Do any come to mind to you?
I really don't know. I have a car that is kind of, well, it's ubiquitous. There's jillions of them. They were used by the police car. It's a 2006 Chevy Impala. Mm-hmm. It has a 3.9-liter V6 that is way powerful. It is crazy powerful.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it's fuel-injected. It's port fuel-injected, but it has a variable valve timing, which makes it, you know, almost a race type of an engine. They quit making it. I think they were originally made for the state police.
Do you think that that's something in the future that people... that might be an interesting question to pose to listeners sometime. What is kind of a boring car today that might be kind of exciting in the future?
I don't know if anybody will ever be excited about a car, especially one that's made today. But, you know, if you're gearhead, if things like variable valve timing and direct injection and that sort of stuff make an engine more usable, get better fuel mileage, and they make it a little more complicated, so there's some issues with it.
Look at what Eric and I have talked about on Wednesday. Problem with that direct injection is that you have to have two fuel injection systems. You have to have one to inject the fuel and the other one to throw some gasoline on the intake valve to clean it off, you know? Keep it cleaned off, keep it from carbonizing up.
I have one, actually. Mm-hmm. It's a Chevrolet it's got that Australian engine. Was designed by, what's the race car engine in Australia? Anyway, it's a V6, 3.6-liter V6 that puts out 300 horsepower.
Yeah, you can get some amazing power. But still, I'm going to put that out there, though, Steve. Thanks for bringing this suggestion. What is a vehicle that's kind of boring today that you think is the future collectible, okay? And the reason I bring this up is that, you know, that boring Vanagon of mine, that 48-horsepower diesel, right?
Yeah.
You know, boring car back in 1982 when it came out, right? It was very functional for its use as a deal. But I'll tell you, it is really something. I'll drive that Vanagon into a place where some young millennials or older Gen Zs are in there, and it's like it's a naked woman. I swear, they look at that vehicle as if it's a naked woman, and you know, with that kind of love, like, and of course, the vehicle's a dog, right? You know, 48 horsepower, 0 to 60 in 49 seconds. You know, but they get it.
Different people look at things differently than they did. You know, the one thing about the 57 Chevy, it was completely understandable. I tore that thing apart from end to end.
Yeah.
I had camshafts and carburetors and intake manifolds and exhaust, and I did most of the work myself, you know. I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
And it was completely understandable, where now cars are an enigma. I mean...
Yeah, and you're right. The older ones, it was great. The older ones are understandable and wrenchable. And you got to be a unique wrencher to do that one. Hey, Steve, thank you so much. A little look back at the 57 Chevy. Of course, he didn't like his 57 Chevy. Isn't that something? They're collectibles now. But anyway, hi, who's this? Good morning. Welcome. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
This is Randy Shock.
Hey, Randy. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm doing well, Bill. To your question, I used to have a PT Cruiser like what you have.
Yeah.
And I personally believe that and possibly the HHR, these retro-styled cars, are about the only thing on the road that will ever be worth restoring in the future.
You think so? Interesting. Because
my son
tells me, you know, calls me, oh, you're still driving the PT Loser, Dad? I said, yeah, it's paid for and it runs. You know, I'm kind of a big guy on this, you know. And he looks at it a little bit differently. PT Loser, Dad. But you think that's going to be a collector in the future, huh?
Well, it's got some style to it that all the other cars all look alike.
Yeah, you got that right.
It's unique.
Yeah. By the way, the main problem I'm having with it right now is that I don't know what paint Chrysler put on the top of that 2010 PT Cruiser, But the clear coat is just coming off like crazy. It looks like I have eczema. I don't know what you do about that, you know?
Well, yeah, it takes essentially the work of a repaint to fix that. None of the clear coats last forever.
Oh, they don't.
And the best thing to do is catch it before it does that and put a fresh coat of clear coat on it before you have to deal with it going bad, and that would freshen it up and make it last longer.
So now I have to repaint, or else, hey, what about, could you put a wrap on it? Has anyone ever tried putting a wrap over the bad clear coat, or do you have to still strip it down?
Well, you'd probably still have to sand off anything that might be loose that would come apart on you.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't want it to delaminate. But, yeah, okay. You could throw just take off the loose stuff and throw a wrap on it, and that'd probably be cheaper than paint.
Yeah, maybe so. I'm thinking about that. Hey, thanks for the idea. I appreciate that. So the PT Cruiser, I'll hang on to it, and I'll still be driving it after they have the motor law banning the use of gasoline engines in the future. And it is 8:39. We'll continue here in just a moment. I believe that... Oh, yeah, the No Wires people coming on. I got to find out what the latest deal is to have people save money on television and phone and various other things. Charisse will join me here in just a minute. We're right back.
Artisan Bakery Cafe invites you to swing.
KMED. 841, Jim's in Grants Pass. Hey, Jim, I wanted to give you a final bite. It's not a pebble in your shoe, but just tell us how great your day was. I'm looking for this. This is a palate cleanser, okay?
Yes, I hear you. I will listen to you every morning, and I listen to everybody, and I just want people to know that I live in the same world as everyone else does, and I hear all the stuff that goes on. I'm aware of the politics, but this morning when I got up, I went to my recliner. My wife says, "Would you care for a cup of coffee?" My wife is 52 years, so she brings me a cup of coffee, gives me a kiss, tells me she loves me.
Aww.
My two grandsons that are 11 and 12 years old live with us. They're up and ready for school. No argue, no fight, no nothing. They were happy, and they headed out the door. I get to watch them get on their school bus and head off in the sun shining. The cat's at the door crying for some more food, and the birds are singing, and people just need to be more aware of the things around them to be thankful and appreciative.
Jim, for that note,
you're a winner!
Thanks for the call, Jim. I love that.
You bet, though.
Okay, now I just want to be clear. This was not a fantasy call, right?
No, absolutely not.
All right.
My bride and I have been married for 52 years, and she's still my beautiful teenage bride and always will be.
Gotta love that. Big, big deal. Big, big deal, Jim. Thanks for the call. It's 8:43. This hour of the Bill Myers Show.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Myers Show.
And she is Charisse on Open for Business. Open for Business, of course. We talk with locally owned and operated people and businesses that are just doing good stuff. And, of course, that would be Charisse from No Wires Now, nowiresnow.com. In fact, you could call her and bug her right now in email or text. Well, just text the bill if you got a copy, right? Take a picture of it. Send it to Charisse, 541-680-5875. And you'll get right on it when you hang up, right? Or sometimes you even deal with these people when you're on the air with me. It's a little embarrassing sometimes, Charisse, but good to have you back. You bet.
Hi. Good morning, everyone.
By the way, I'm just giving you a hard time. Just have a little bit of fun here.
No, yes.
This is about saving some money, helping people save money on whether it's cell phone bills or television and this and that. And by the way, I guess my name is worth something to people if they come down to No Wires Now and talk with you. What happens?
You get the VIP treatment, first of all, if you say Bill Meyer, and you bring me in a copy of your bill, and we do business together. I'll throw in some Visa cards, some free cell phone covers, a free phone.
Mm-hmm.
I have free phones, if you mention Bill Meyer.
Yeah, from what I understand, I'm also told that if you mention my name, you come into the store, you could get a Visa gift card of $100 when you switch to Dish, right? That kind of thing?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. If you still got Spectrum TV or DirecTV, you're just throwing money out the door. You don't got the best equipment. You don't have the best customer service. You got to call me, come down to the store, bring me a copy of your bill. I'm going to switch you to Dish, get you way better equipment, 4K, talking remote, awesome DVR, and my husband's your installer.
Mm-hmm.
He comes and does the installation for free, and then he brings me your old equipment, whether it's Spectrum or Direct. I take it back for you. I help you cancel the TV service, and then I help you lower the internet bill for free. And then I also help you lower your cell phone bills. So I'm going to save you thousands of dollars a year.
By the way, I was going to mention that if you become a client of Charisse by calling or, you know, visiting No Wires Now, 541-680-5875, if you become a client, she can also go to work on bills if you have to stay with certain companies. Like my mother, as an example, you ended up working on her internet bill because in her complex, she can only have Spectrum. That's all she can have. Nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. But
that's against the law, but yeah.
Really? That's against the law?
Yeah.
Really?
You can't tell somebody they can only have Spectrum. That's
really?
You can't do that. Yeah. And so I do offer DirecTV Stream, and that has a talking remote, and that works off her internet. So I got her internet to $30. It was $84.99.
Uh-huh.
I lowered it down to $30. And then if she got DirecTV Stream, she doesn't have to have a satellite. It just works off the internet. And
really?
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay. Because the television these days is getting very expensive, especially for a senior citizen. You know,
it's like $150 because they're charging your mom $35 a month just in taxes to have Spectrum TV, and it's crappy. It's like an old dinosaur.
Well, the other thing about this though is that a lot of times with the cable systems, they're having to put a lot of sports channels on. Those sports channels are expensive. Mm-hmm. I can assure you, she's not watching those.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And she's paying for it. Yep. She's paying for the sport.
Okay. All right. So you can go with a stream then if you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. DirecTV Stream's so cool. You just come in, I'll help you order the equipment. They ship it right to your house and you plug it right back into the HDMI spot in the back of your TV. And then you just enter your email and a password and you're on live TV and you can talk to it. She can say, Hallmark Channel, and it goes right to it.
Hey, so, you've been watching her. Okay, so you know Hallmark Channel. You love Hallmark, right, Mom? Okay. But anyway.
Uh-oh, we're talking about Mom.
Yeah, you come up with ways, though, to save people money, and that's just one small example. And what about the cell phone bills, internet, things like that? Talk about some deals you have there, please.
So if you have a huge cell phone bill and you need a new phone and you want to save a ton of money and I can help you get free phones, come on down to the store, $29.99 for two lines, unlimited talk, text, and data, tax-free, no hidden bills, $30 for two lines. Verizon, it has the best coverage in the world, really.
Okay.
So no contract, come in, talk to me, I'll save you. I save the average person with families $200 a month on their cell phone bill. $2,500 a year.
Give me an example of somebody. You know, someone comes to you and says, okay, they dump all their bills on you. And they say, okay, Charisse, help me out here. Can you give me an example? Something that comes to mind?
So Moore's Doors, Sarah, she is so awesome. She came in with her family, and her phone bill was like $300 a month. She owed like $2,000 on these phones.
Yikes.
So if you do three lines or more, Spectrum will pay up to $2,500. They'll give you the money, pay off your phone, and then your monthly bill for four lines is $60. Like, it's so cheap. Tax-free. Unlimited.
How can they do this?
You're going to go from $300 a month to $60? That's insane.
All right. So that's just one of many deals there, but you have to become a client first. And you just call or text message 541-680-5875. If you're calling on a conventional phone, just add a 1 to that, 541-680-5875. You can also go to nowiresnow.com. And what's the best locator of people who just wanted to drop by and see you this morning, Charisse?
I'm at 1560 Biddle Road. I'm right by Cigar Caves between People's Bank, FedEx, and I'm there usually from 10 to 4, Monday through Friday. The best thing to do is to call me and make an appointment. And then that way I have an hour of my time just dedicated to you.
And anyone who hears me within the sound of my voice that comes into the store, you'll get a Visa gift card of $100 when you switch to Dish.
Yeah.
Okay, so just mention that you heard me and get them in there. And, of course, talk to Charisse for all of the details. Restrictions could apply, you know, those kind of things, because not every service is available everywhere. It just kind of depends. But if there's anybody's out there looking out for you and trying to help save you money, and in inflationary times, you need No Wires Now. NoWiresNow.com. All right. Charisse, thanks so much. And
thank you.
Yep, 541-680-5875. Call or text messenger right now. Okay?
You're such a sweetie. Have a good day, Bill.
Right. Good having you on. On Open for Business, it is 852.
We're here with Susan, who had her well drilled by Clouser Drilling. Susan, what made you choose Clouser?
I checked around town, asked friends of mine who they had used, and Clouser came up every time, A number one, from realtors to actual residences.
And what stood out to you?
Everything, frankly. From when they first arrived, locating the water, walking the property, the site selection. They were very methodical, very careful. I was impressed with their entire approach.
Visit ClouserDrilling.com.
Tommy! I can't wait for golf this weekend, huh, buddy? Time flies. Love you, man. Oh, don't forget your knee brace again. We aren't in college anymore.
Moments together matter, so help protect yourself from RSV. If you're 75 or older or 60 plus with a chronic condition like asthma, COPD, heart disease, or severe diabetes, you're at higher risk of landing in the hospital from RSV, and there are no prescription RSV treatments. Check eligibility and schedule your RSV vaccine at vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Bi-Coastal Media's 2024 Best of Southern Oregon magazine, presented by Dusty's Transmissions, is here. Visit bestofsouthernoregon.com to view the new magazine online and pick up a copy at Food for Less, Sherm's Thunderbird Market, Dairy Queen on Biddle, Albertsons on West Main, The Point in Central Point, Holiday Jewelry, Organic Elements Spa, Edenvale Winery, and Mercedes-Benz of Medford. Congratulations to all the winners representing Southern Oregon's best suppliers of goods and services. Visit bestofsouthernoregon.com.
Hi, I'm Steven with Steven Westfall Roofing, Inc., and I'm on KMED.
853 and change. Price of gold has just been on a tear. I haven't checked it this morning. Yesterday it was like 2620. Don't know if it's still there. But, you know, what's really going on is that Mr. Gold is admitting that they don't have control of the United States finances. And when you look at that continuing resolution, that's right. Even though they're producing more gold than ever right now, the price has been going up. Well, look at what the central banks of the world have been doing. The big banks are buying gold hand over fist because, yeah, they're realizing that, it may not matter who's president. Dollar's going to be under pressure, because so much of this is baked in the cake. You know, with the big banks buying it, you might think of investing in some of this, too, as protection, some wealth protection. Gold has been good at this for years. You do that with Jay Austin and Company. Gold and silver buyers. Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, and 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. I implicitly trust them. They're one of my oldest sponsors. I would never tell you to go to some place that I didn't think was doing good work. And Jay Austin is one of those places doing incredible work and understanding these markets, too. And they'll help you figure out what's best for you, whether you're on the buying or the selling of it. Jay Austin in Ashland in Grants Pass. FortuneReserve.com is their online. But go visit them. It's worth it just to talk to people that are, let me put it, they'll be your friends, all right? Jay Austin and Company, JayAustinBrokers.com. All right? 770-5633. I'll grab maybe one more quick call here and then some emails of the day. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Applegate.
Carol Ann, how are you? What's up?
I'm good. You made my day this morning. I hope it's not too late to talk about classic cars.
Sure.
But first, I was so blessed by the gentleman who called and talked about his day.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he's got all the wealth. It's beautiful. And that just, those are the things we should think about, the good things. So, I mean, we have to be aware of the others, but...
Yeah, we have to stay aware of the good things, but also be thankful for what is there also. And,
absolutely.
And
so,
you know...
When you started talking about classic cars, I'm 77 years old, mm-hmm. and so I graduated high school in 1965, and I grew up in L.A. in a canyon called North Beverly Glen. And I was an only child, had no brothers, but up the road were these two boys, and we used to sit out in front of the house and watch cars, and we'd call them, you know, 57 Chevy,
yeah.
But, you know, My dad drove until 1962. I was so chagrined because it was such an old car, but it was this beautiful Buick Special, mm-hmm. with black, with the gray flannel interior, and oh my goodness, that car would be worth so much now, and I couldn't wait for him to get something updated. But I'll tell you, classic cars. I was in Grants Pass yesterday, and a man had, it was either an Oldsmobile or a Pontiac, you know, one of those big boats, and it was a convertible with the two tones, white over pale mint green, you know. Oh, my gosh, Bill. Those cars were so wonderful. And so, and now the cars are great, and I love European styling, but they aren't as exciting and fun as the old cars.
Yeah,
were.
It doesn't stir. It doesn't stir the soul. I get that. You know, and I thank you so much for sharing a bit of that, Carol Ann. I really do. And by the way, it's also a great reminder to be grateful for what we do have. But yeah, we also have to continue to be a happy warrior for the stuff that we're not so grateful about right now, too. Okay.
Oh, right. Instead of being woke, we need to be awake.
Yeah, indeed. Thanks for the call, Carol Ann. I really do appreciate that. 858. I want to squeeze in an email or two of the day here, and even though I got a whole bunch more, maybe we'll have to touch on a longer segment. I'll do it a little earlier tomorrow. But emails of the day, sponsored by Dr. Steve Nelson and Central Point Family Dentistry at centralpointfamilydentistry.com. While you wait, crowns possible. They have an in-house lab now. It is so easy. Get your tooth taken care of, and then they could just, you wait for maybe 20, 30 minutes. Boom, there's the crown. On it goes. Life is good. centralpointfamilydentistry.com. Eric from Central Point writes, Bill, Trump said a few times that nobody votes for vice president, and the vice president has virtually no impact on an election. But Trump is old. He may follow Reagan and Biden down the mental slope, or he may use up his nine lives. But one way or the other, J.D. Vance will end up being one of the most important aspects of Trump's final presidency. After researching and watching J.D. Vance, I have renewed hope for our country. I urge your listeners to watch and share any J.D. Vance videos you can find. The man is amazing, and I am essentially voting for Vance, not Trump. Eric?